There.
And thank you for that song. It means a lot. I think I've heard that song every Easter since I've been saved. And it's always one that'll stick in your mind. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And, Ephesians chapter 2, that stands for the reading of God's holy word. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And I am praying that that is your testimony today. That you have been quickened. You've been born again. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, if you will, among whom also we all had our conversation or our former manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But you see that beautiful word in verse 4, the first word, but. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, which He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the resurrection of Your Son. And thank You for the life that He gives to those who believe in Him, those who call on Him, those who trust in Him, those who have faith in Him. You have made us alive. We are born again. You are rich in mercy. You are rich in grace. And tremendous in love, that while we were still in our sins, You gave Your Son for us. Because of His victory and His payment, we can have eternal life and have that resurrection power in us, that one day even our physical bodies will be resurrected. Lord, help us as we talk about the resurrection today, that it would not be formality, but it would be reality in our everyday lives. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible gives us what I call a biblical perspective, if you will, on death. Death is a very negative subject, but all of us have seen death, whether it's in animals or in our family. Most of us have been to funerals. Most of us have touched a dead body before. But the Bible talks about several kinds of deaths. One death that He talks about here in Ephesians 2 is what we call spiritual death, which is separation from God. That took place a long time ago when there was sin, if you will, in the early stages of Genesis, and man has become separated from God because we are spiritually dead, and therefore every person that's born is born spiritually dead and needs to be born again, not from his mother's womb, but born again by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 that our iniquities have separated us from God. And then, of course, we know about physical death. Physical death is the separation of the body and the soul. When you see that person laying in the casket, they are not moving. The body is just a shell. The person is gone. The spirit is gone. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead. And only by the resurrection of the body could death be conquered. That's why we believe that Jesus was bodily resurrected. Some want to teach that He was resurrected only in spirit, but not in body. But the Bible teaches that He was physically resurrected. The Bible says if He did not rise, then our faith is in vain, our preaching is in vain, and we're still in our sins. And we're most miserable, and we just might as well close our Bibles and go home, for we have no hope. But we sing that song this morning, "Up from the grave He arose, mighty triumph over his foes. The bodily resurrection is very important to show us victory over death. Therefore, in Him, in Christ, we have victory over death. Death could not hold Him, and death cannot hold us. And one day, death will be finally put away. And when we think back about John chapter 18, 19, and 20, and we think about those first century Christians, if they were not convinced, how are we going to be convinced of His resurrection? If they had some doubts, would you not think that we would have some doubts? But think about all the generations that have come down to where we live today. Generation after generation, the faith in Christ has been passed down. And each generation, those people having a strong faith in Christ, because of the first century Christians who were eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ and His resurrection, and they have given us strong faith because they had strong faith. First of all, as we read, you remember the witnesses were reluctant to believe. The reports that came into them, they did not believe. It was until they went and saw. Even Thomas, he wanted to touch and to feel. The Bible says they believed that He was risen from the tomb. He was risen from the dead. He was not in the tomb. Secondly, the witnesses believed in the resurrection because of the overwhelming evidence. Jesus appeared to them in the flesh multiple times. They could touch Him. They could see Him. They believed. They had a strong faith. And thirdly, He appeared in the upper room, and the Bible says that they had some fish to eat. He was not just a spirit. He was a physical, in physical form, and He ate. He was in bodily form from the tomb. And the result was that the witnesses were so convinced, these early believers, these early disciples, the early church, they were so convinced that they had seen the risen Lord that no amount of persecution could stop their belief. They would not waver in their testimony and their witnessing of Jesus Christ dead and His blood shed and He's buried and risen again. They would not waver in that testimony about the Son of God. These believers would not deny Christ. And the very next generation of believers, they were herded into the Colosseums. Their fingernails were pulled off. Their teeth were extracted. Their hair was pulled out. They were burned at the stake. They were soaked in oil and burned. They were ripped apart by animals. They were dragged through the streets. They were pierced by swords. They were stoned by rocks. Yet they did not deny Jesus Christ and His resurrection. And while they were dying, they were thanking God for the privilege to die for His name and His cause's sake. So that even the persecutors, many of them were so convinced of the truth through these witnesses that they too bowed their knees. When you think of those apostles, those early disciples, most of them died at the hands of persecutors. All of them except one. But their faith and their testimony could not be shaken. The dramatic change, when you think especially of Peter, who would deny Christ multiple times. I don't know Him. I don't know. I was not with Him. And the dramatic change is he is now resurrected and he's now ascended. And there's Peter standing, beginning to preach to the multitudes. And when they came with persecution and beat them, Peter would not deny. Church tradition tells us and teaches us that Peter was crucified upside down for not recanting that Jesus was his Savior, his Lord, and that Peter himself died a martyr for the cause of Christ. But their post-resurrection reactions were different. They were fearless. They did not care what man could do to them. They believed the truth. They saw the truth. They knew the truth. Nothing could turn them from the truth that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was God. They did not even care if they faced the Roman emperors, their execution, their relatives' execution. They spoke boldly the name of Christ. They preached boldly Jesus Christ dead and risen again. So much so, so much evidence that even in a few centuries later, the whole world came to Christianity and believed upon Christ. And so in Acts chapter 2, we see the evidence of Pentecost and Peter, who had denied the Lord. We see him now preaching so great for the Lord. He was, of course, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but he stood and he spoke and he gave those sermons. And if you remember those sermons, he would say in Acts chapter 2, and as he would preach, he would say, "By your hands you have crucified him, but God hath raised him up." 3,000 people believed. And this was just a few days after Christ's resurrection. You want to know why the church hasn't folded up and gone home? You want to know why the church hasn't fallen apart over these 2,000 years since His resurrection? It is because that Jesus is the head of the church. It's because that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. It's because Jesus is risen from the dead. And He is real. You look at the church today, and there is a group of people, what we call a remnant of people, who follow the Bible and believe that Christ is who He says He is. There's a group of people still left in the United States of America who will unswervingly hold to the truth. I believe that this Easter morning I'm in a church like that, with people who believe and will hold to the truth because of this resurrection of Jesus Christ. You take your Bible and turn over to 1 Peter and chapter 2. Notice now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, here's Peter. Notice his testimony. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." And so the encouragement here from Peter is to emulate Christ, to follow in His footsteps. Notice it says in verse 22 that there was no sin in him. Peter would know. Peter was with him on a regular basis. There was no sin in him. They crucified him as an evildoer amongst other evil men. The Bible says, "Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He committed himself to God. I want to say to you that nobody took Jesus' life. He voluntarily laid it down. There's an old song that we sung over in Israel and Jerusalem. "He could have called 10,000 angels." And He could have. He didn't need the angels. He could have come off the cross Himself. But He willingly laid down His life. The Bible says, "Who His own self bore our sins in His own body," that physical body, "on the tree, that we being dead to sins should," what's the word? live. People are not living unless they know Christ as their Savior. They may think they're living, but they're not living unless they're born again. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, one man to his left and one man to his right, they both spoke to Jesus. One of the men said, "Why don't you save all of us? You are who you say you are." One of the men says, "Remember me." And Jesus quoted those words that are so famous to us. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those famous words shoot down all kinds of false teaching, like the false teaching of "I have to work my way to heaven." That man had no works for his salvation, no baptism for his salvation, no church membership for his salvation. All he had for his salvation is Jesus and Jesus alone. And Jesus is sufficient. And today, if we die, as long as we have Christ as our Savior, we'll be with Him forever. So many times we like to focus on the words paradise or heaven. We think of location, do we not? It's not so much about location. It's so much more about the person. Christianity is about the person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Paul said, buried and risen again, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross, Christ. I'm going to glory in Christ. As you and I sit here this morning, where's our faith? Are we unswervingly following the Lord? Do we have the confidence of the evil man that was to the side of Jesus, who believed on Jesus in his final hours on this earth? Are we a person that doubts? Wonder if this is all real. Wonder if it's all true or not. Wonder if this person, Jesus, really resurrected. I would not doubt that some of us in this room have gone through those thoughts in our minds. Well, I want to give to you not only the witness of Christ, the witness of the Bible, but I want to give you the witness of men who were way over here, and after they saw Jesus in His resurrection, they were all the way over here and died for the cause. They died. And then you go through those people after those early believers, and they were put into all kinds of persecution, pain that you and I could only imagine or dream or couldn't even think of, and they would not recant. Oftentimes, all they had to do is recant Jesus Christ. And they would not. And they would die, oftentimes, a horrible death. I wonder today, in our churches across America, if we were put to the same test, how many would recant. Those of you who've been born again and the Spirit of God dwells in you, and God's Spirit has witnessed to your spirit, and you know the work that Christ has done in your life, what He means to you, you will testify of Him. I cannot turn my back on what He's done for me. Look at what He's done for me. And yet oftentimes when we live our Christian life, we show disloyalty. We show dishonor. And we don't live for Him like we should. And I think we need to recommit ourselves to the One who committed everything to us. And decide from this morning on that we're going to faithfully live our Christian life. We're going to faithfully be in the Word of God. We're going to faithfully be in this church. We're going to faithfully witness of this resurrection. We're going to tell the gospel story. We're going to tell others who do not know, that need to hear, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus died for them, was buried, and rose again. We need to share the message that He's given to us. So my challenge to you that are Christians is, will you start to become more faithful, unswerving, and your dedication, your loyalty, and your commitment to Christ. Let us stand to our feet for closing invitation. Every eye, please, no one looking around. This is a very important time. If you're here this morning, young or old, and you're not sure of your salvation, if you were to die today, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or not, why don't you take care of that issue? You know what Christ has done. Shed His blood on that cross for your sins. Every one of us is a sinner. He was buried and He rose again and He's waiting to save us. He wants to save you. Won't you respond to Him today in simple faith? Won't you cry out from your heart and say, I am a sinner. I take You as my Savior. Jesus Christ, You shed Your blood for me. You were buried. You rose again. I believe You're my Savior. Be my Savior. Save me. Won't you cry out for salvation today? If you're here and you're a Christian, you know your Christian life. You know whether you've been faithful or not, whether you're living true or not, or whether you're just going through the motions of life like every other human being. Are you dedicated? Are you committed? Are you faithful? Does He have your whole heart? Are you serving Him with all your mind, soul, and strength? Or are you giving Him token time? Let us dedicate ourselves. You can pray right where you're standing, but if you want to come to this altar, kneel at this altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. But let us respond to Him this morning. We've read from John 18 through 20. We've sang songs. We've heard the preaching of the Word. God knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our life. We cannot hide from Him. Now let's go before Him and be honest. Let's go before Him and kneel. Let's go before Him and bow our heart. Let's go before Him and give Him our life. This is our time of invitation. Let's respond to Him this Easter. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for this church. I thank You for this church being here, for its existence, for the work that has been done inside these walls and outside these walls. I thank You for this congregation. We are here because of You. Thank You for being our Lord and our Savior. Thank You for this weekend of Your death, Your burial, Your resurrection. God, I pray for our young people here that they would live in the reality of the historic and truthful event of Your coming to this earth and what You accomplished here. And God, I pray for all the people in this church, for our own hearts that we are oftentimes distracted. We allow the things of this world to grow up and choke out the Word and choke out our love. And oftentimes our loyalty is divided multiple times. God, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins, of our laziness, of our unfaithfulness. And God, may today be the day that we made a decision to dedicate our lives and to recommit ourselves to being your followers and your disciples. May we be faithful and true. May we be true servants and followers of you. God, we think of those early believers and their great faith and their standing for the truth and having done all they remain to stand. God, I pray that that would be true of us. As the fiery darts of the evil one and as persecution, all that comes against us, that you'll find us standing for right and righteousness and for you, and having done all, remain standing. So God, I pray for the days and the months ahead for this local church. I pray that they would rally together. I pray that they'd be a strong unit. I pray against the evil one. And I pray, God, that you'd give them wisdom. Bring them the man and the family that should be here, that everybody would know it. They would know it, and the family would know it. But Lord, we know that no pastor is a Savior. You're the Savior. And you're sufficient. Your Word is sufficient. And I pray that you bring to this church and to each individual all that they need. Lord, we look forward to the day that our paths will cross again, either here or up there with you. But Lord, may we be found faithful. Found faithful to the end. And so we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday that we have celebrated and enjoyed and will enjoy forever. For it's in your name we pray. And all of God's people say, Amen.